going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone, and it's intercepted! Intercepted! The knock down the ball! Head of the 35!
Welcome to another episode of the Duck Pod. I'm Ryan Thorburn, joined by Austin Meek. We're getting ready for Oregon's second game of the season against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And today our guest is Tom Chattel, longtime columnist for the Omaha World Herald. Tom, I really enjoyed your column this year when you kind of reflected back on your decades, I guess, covering the Huskers. How long have you been covering this beat now?
Yeah, I've been calling this since 1991, and I think Rich Brooks would have been the coach of the Ducks back then. Before that, I was in Kansas City. I covered the KU, K-State, and Missouri beat at the Star in Kansas City during the 80s, so... Saw a lot of bad football, but a lot of great basketball.
Well, you've seen a lot of things, but I don't think you've seen Nebraska play at Autzen Stadium. What's kind of the fan base's feeling about this? Obviously, we're dealing with some smoke out here and some poor air quality right now. But are Nebraska fans kind of excited about playing Oregon in Autzen Stadium?
Yes, very excited. You're right. It's sort of a once. I know they played. A long, long time ago, but I'm not sure they've ever been to Oregon. I know I haven't. It's a bucket list game for me. I've covered college football in every corner of the country except this one. I've been up to Washington where the boats come up to the stadium, and I've been to Cal where they shoot that cannon on the hill. But I've never been to a state of Oregon, so I'm fired up. I've seen pictures of it, and certainly the state of Duck football, the emergence as a national power over the last the last 20 years or so makes the trip more appealing. It's a couple of teams really that are sort of knocking on the door, trying to get back into that national relevance. And I'm not sure anybody's going to do it this Saturday, but it's a fun game between two programs trying to get back up, and I think that the winner is going to feel a lot better about things.
Well, we had a great time in Lincoln last year. The Nebraska fans always roll out the red carpet, and hopefully Nebraska people will have the same experience up here. When I went down last year, I tried to talk to some people about Mike Riley and just sort of the vibe of the fan base about Mike. Obviously, it was a tough first season. They went 9-4 last year, which seems to kind of be the kiss of death for a Nebraska football coach. What's the mood now in Riley's third season, and what do you think he has to do this year to really get the fan base 100% on board with him?
Well, yeah, I think he's obviously, everybody in Oregon knows he's a great man. Very nice. He takes time for everybody. In my opinion, it's the between the relationship from the coaches and the program with the rest of the state and recruiting. It's the best it's been off the field since the Tom Osborne days. And Riley is the best with the average fan and the fan base since Bob Devaney. Tom would always show up and have lunch with you, but he always let you know he had somewhere else to be and so on and so forth. It wasn't his cup of tea, but Mike acts like he's your best friend, and that was sort of the magic of Bob Devaney. So if you could ever win on the field really big, he'd be the guy. Everybody's pulling for him, but there's still a wait-and-see attitude about, is this coaching staff from these Oregon State guys Are they ever going to get it? Or is it, you know, is it ever going to be fundamental good football? You know, last week people are still talking about the game management, the clock management kind of stuff. So everything here, I guess, picked apart pretty good. But there's still sort of a wait and see. Not sure if this is the right thing or not, but it certainly is trending upward. But I think, and now they're going to have their quarterback. Everybody is okay. Now you get your guy. No more excuses. We'll see what this is all about. But it's such a young defense. They're going to the 3-4, and it takes a while to do that. I don't think anybody's expecting a championship or anything this year, but they sure like to beat Wisconsin, and they sure like to get back to beating Iowa, and I think by the end of the year, you know, I don't know if anybody really expects 9 wins again because of the schedule with Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. It's a tough deal. But they just want to feel like at the end of the year that it's going in the right direction. And they try to get to next year when they play at Michigan and at Ohio State, at Wisconsin, at Iowa. So wow. It's never easy. But I think they just want to feel like it's going in the right direction. And they did last year, but things really bottomed out the last couple of games. They got blown out. They didn't really show well. That's why Mark Banker was fired and the special teams coach was fired. So, you know, Riley showed a lot of urgency. The Bo Pelini era, he kind of kept his buddies on the staff and didn't get rid of anybody, and that was part of his downfall. And, you know, Mike is not showing any hesitation with getting rid of his buddies. Yeah. So there's certainly that urgency there.
What was your first impression of Tanner Lee? He's a guy that, you know, got a lot of buzz during the off season, and obviously quarterback is the key to this whole thing. And so I guess just what did you take away from the first game in terms of Lee and also their new 3-4 defense? And obviously they gave up some points and yards, but is that something that can get better from game to game? Because obviously Oregon's offense creates some unique problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee will be sort of a familiar guy to Oregon fans. He's sort of a classic Pac-12 quarterback in a lot of ways. Very savvy, drop back, reads well. He's got great touch. He can make all the throws, and they're really happy about him. He's an older guy who sat out last year after playing at Tulane. So, he didn't get rattled last week. He's sort of an older, mature guy. So I think as long as the offensive line keeps him upright, that he's going to be he should have a good year. And they found a running game in the first game, so that's even better news for him. He won't have to be Superman. They'll be able to move the ball on the ground. So that was welcome news, especially for a defense that had kind of a rough night. And it's not going to get better this week. It's going to get tougher, as we know. Oregon's got everything Arkansas State has and more, and they run the ball. And you know, the guy, Royce, was injured in the game last year. He was running up and down the field in the game last year, and then he got hurt. So they kind of caught a break there last year when that happened. So, you know, the defense, Bob Diaco, the new coordinator, was at Notre Dame when they went to the national championship game, went to UConn to be head coach. That didn't work, but he's an excellent coordinator. He came out last night and said, hey, our plan was to give up yards, but not let them in the end zone. And we were kind of hoping that if you give them long drives, that they're going to mess up or fumble or something. You know, there'll be penalties, And it was really an interesting philosophy I've never heard before from a coordinator. But what it tells me is they like the personnel and the defense, and they have a lot of guys who do thin linebacker, but they're young and they don't know where they're going, and they don't really trust them. And they just want everybody to kind of back up and give it, let everything happen in front. So that probably won't work. That's not going to work this week. So they're going to have to. He's going to have to take some chances. I think they will. I don't think they'll play the exact same way. I think it was vanilla on purpose, partially to get to the first game, and partially maybe to not show Oregon everything they're doing or anything that But Taggart and Diaco have gone at it in the AAC the last couple of years, so they know about each other. That's a nice little side chess match for all of us to watch this week. I think Nebraska needs to be aware of running the ball, keeping the chains moving, keeping the Ducks on the sideline, if they can do that, and they're going to have to try to win a shootout.
That philosophy of giving up a lot of yards has been Oregon's defensive philosophy for a long time, too. It hasn't worked out for them that well. You mentioned Mike cutting loose a couple of his buddies that had been with him for a long time, and I know out here that raised some eyebrows because Mark Banker had been with Mike forever at Oregon State and Bruce Reed. Was that surprising to people in Nebraska? Do you think that was all Mike's call? What's sort of been the reaction to the new defensive coordinator and the philosophy he's brought in?
Yeah, I think it was a little surprising, but people really don't know much about Mike. We're also kind of learning as we go. Mm-hmm. There was a quote early on the first year that he had, or no, it was one of their coaches had about a quarterback who, when they got to Nebraska, there was a quarterback here that they had. Recruited to Oregon State, and he got him coming to Nebraska. Well, they asked the guy to move to tight end or another position, and one of the offensive coaches from Oregon State was in Nebraska with Riley. Was asked, well, you guys recruited him to Oregon State. Why didn't you keep him a quarterback here? And the answer was, he could play quarterback at Oregon State. He can't play quarterback here. Mm-hmm. So the feeling was, whatever we did at Oregon State isn't going to work. It's not all going to work here. We're going to have to do some things a little differently. So I think that's what that was all about with Anker and Bruce Reed. And Mike fired a defensive line coach after the first year, which wasn't his guy. It was a Mark Banker guy, a guy named Hank Hughes. So Riley didn't really know him, but he wasn't recruiting very well. And he's really assembled the staff of good young recruiters. A guy from Arizona, I believe last year, Dante Williams. But anyway, he's shown urgency, and that's been welcome. People here want to win now. They've been going 9-4 forever, and they want to break through. That's why the end of last season was really disappointing, and because they were 7-0 and ranked number 7 in the country going to Wisconsin last year, and they lost in overtime at Madison, and then everything just kind of fell apart. But so they were on track to have a pretty good year at that point. But yeah, I think it's. A deal where they're really, I think, again, it's kind of wait and see. Mike has shown the urgency. What I always kind of wondered at, and he's 61, 62 right now. Obviously, it's going to be probably his last job. I wonder how much in his mind, how many more years he has, feels like he has left. I think he knows that they aren't going to be very patient with him here. The wild card is that the AD, Sean Eichhorst, is not really popular. He's not real known by anybody. He just kind of keeps to himself in the office. And when he hired Riley, I mean, it was a shock. And I think the feeling is that he may not get to hire another football coach. So he needs Riley to work out. So I don't think anybody's thinking that Riley's going to get fired unless they have a new AD. So, and that's happened before too in 2007. So Steve Peterson and Bill Callahan. So we've seen that story before. We're starting to get reruns. which nobody likes, but I think it's I think Riley should get 5 years at least. The recruiting is really been on the upswing. They have a nice foothold in California, but you can't. At some point, you got to win. I don't think people are expecting it this week, but they want to see the offense, continue to score and improve. And they want to get, obviously they want the defense to make some strides, but this might be the wrong week to do that.
Well, I think Oregon State fans were as shocked as anyone that Mike Riley ended up at Nebraska, because the Beavers weren't exactly setting the world on fire when he got that upgraded gig. One guy that was mentioned prominently was, Oregon's offensive coordinator at the time, Scott Frost, who's now at Central Florida, obviously had a brilliant career at Nebraska. What's kind of the fans feeling about Scott Frost's evolution as a coach, and maybe down the line someday that could be a subject that comes up if Riley retires or things don't work out?
Yeah, absolutely. It's already come up, and there's a lot of fans with one eye on Orlando right now, one eye on this Lincoln, one eye on Orlando, and they're all watching their games whenever they're on TV, and they're keeping a very close eye on Scott. So he's seen as an up-and-coming guy, and I think there may have been some disappointment maybe in Scott's camp, and maybe some fans here, that he didn't get a sniff when they fired Pelini. He didn't get an interview, and that's certainly, I don't know how, I'd never, been able to talk to him about that. I don't know how he feels about that, but certainly the feeling is that he's going to be requested. The fans are going to want him back, and especially if he does as well as everybody thinks down there. So it's just a question of would he ever come to work for the AD here? So, which is an interesting dynamic. Scott is very loyal to Tom Osborne, and Tom wasn't quite ready to step aside as AT. He kind of was. It was very awkward how it all happened. So I don't know how things are going there right now. But I think there's definitely a feeling that if this doesn't work out, that they're going to try to get Scott if they can. So hopefully he'll do well there. He should. And it looks like it could be destiny one day. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Well, Tom, thanks for joining us. We'll be keeping tabs on your stuff in the World Herald. Have a good trip out here. Hopefully the air clears out for us, and you have a good time first trip to Eugene, and we'll say hello to you in the press box on Saturday.
Cool. I can't wait. Thanks a lot.